This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family matters.
Hey, Beck.
Hey, Cheetah. Sorry.
Have you got your feet up?
I have.
Oh, I think we need to tell people what's going on. You're so brave. You are so brave.
I'm so dedicated to this show, Gina, that I've come in on crutches.
You have come in. So we have come in a bit late because literally we've kicked the other team out. We've brought in an extra chair so that Beck can raise her leg. And is your leg up yet?
Yeah, I'm good. I've got elevation.
You've got elevation. Now, tonight we're doing something a little bit different.
Yes.
We've kicked out the regular team.
I know.
We've stolen Steph from Stand Up Straight.
I love it.
Who's out there doing a photo op, as she does.
Well, you know, she's a woman in demand.
She looks fabulous tonight. We'll have to ask her about that. Apparently that's her work uniform.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I just think it's funny that the last time the three of us were in a studio, there was a lot of blushing going on.
Yeah.
Just a bit.
You taught us some stuff that night, Gina. Steph and I did not know before.
Yeah, we learned about lesbian sexual health.
We did.
Apparently I was an expert in this, apparently, but I doubt it.
Well, the two straight girls learned some stuff. I'll give it a big tip.
Well, I know I did to encourage people to go find a regular GP, have their breast checks.
That's right.
Have pap smears.
Yep.
How to make a dental dam
out of a condom. I was going to say, I have told so many people that story. Like, it just comes up in conversation. I'm like, do you know what a dental dam is?
Exactly.
And then often they say no. Yeah. And then I say, well, if you don't have one, you can get a condom and cut up the sides.
So, you know,
I'm spreading the message, spreading the joy.
I don't think we're scaring our guest.
No.
Maybe.
I mean, she seems fine.
I don't think she heard that podcast. But if anyone else wants to hear that sexual health podcast, it's called Damn Her.
Damn Her.
Why not?
I think it's Clayton's finest work.
Finest work. Thank you, Clayton. But we might make our guest blush later.
Why?
Well, so our guest is someone who works very closely with elders, and an elder gave me a secret that works here at Joy. Something about a fetish that our guest is into. She's already blushing.
This is a family show, Gina.
It is a family show, so we'll leave that story until the kids are tucked up into bed.
That's right.
But what we're going to do is we're going to try and get Steph back in. We'll try and ice your foot.
Yes.
But let's just cut to something to kind of give the tone of what tonight's show is all about.
One, two, three, four. All right.
Come on.
Like the legend of the phoenix, all ends with the beginning. What keeps that planet spinning? The force from the beginning.
Well, we've come too far.
We're up all night to get lucky. All right, come on. Oh, yeah. The present has no ribbon. Your gift just keeps on giving. What is this that I'm feeling? If you wanna leave, I'm with it. Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, we've come too far to give up who we are. So let's raise the bar and our cups to the stars.
We're up all night for good fun. We're up all night to get some. We're up all night to the sun. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night for good fun. We're
night to the sun. We're up all night to get lucky. To get lucky, she's up all night for good fun. She's up all night to get some. She's up all night to the sun. She's up all night to get lucky. Yeah.
You're on Family Matters, your favourite family show. We do take over Thursday nights, and so much that we have stolen Steph from Stand Up Straight. So thank you, Steph, and
it's
thank you, Stand Up Straight.
Quite the tongue twister, stolen Steph from Stand Up Straight.
I did well, didn't
thank
I?
Thank you for having me. This is the first time I've been on Family Matters. It's very exciting.
Whereas we were just talking before how I ended up twice now on
twice,
your show.
Yeah, oh, no. God.
Topic tonight is celebrating our elders, our most important family members. But if you'd like to join the conversation, you can SMS on 0427 JOY 949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. We like our social media though, Beck, don't we?
We do. And even though Dave's not here, the hashtag FindDavidDate is still up and running.
It is.
So as I say every week, go to our Facebook page or Instagram. He's hot.
He's very
And get amongst it.
Absolutely. He is lovely too, I have to say. I'm a bit partial to Dave.
Yeah, so. Everyone's a bit partial to Dave. No,
well, if you get on Twitter, we've got a photo of Beck with her foot up, and we're joking that Dave did this to her.
Yeah,
we'll
so he's not here, so we can say whatever we like about
he
him.
He cannot defend himself whatsoever. No. But other than break tear your calf muscle, how's your week been, Beck?
Well, aside from that, it's been fine. But last week we were talking about how we can't look after ourselves and we shouldn't have children. No. And this has proved it, really.
Well, pretty much.
Yeah.
Whereas my week has been absolutely crazy because the 2G network has shut down.
I didn't even know there was a 2G
Apparently
network.
There is a 2G network, and my parents are part of the 2G network. As
are
they
those people? Yeah.
Those people who have really easy flip-top kind of phones that they know if they close it, turns off. Like they can't get a call wrong by using this phone. And of course I have to monitor my parents' accounts because, you know, cards and all that sort of stuff are just impossible to use. So I had to run around and find them a brand new phone. Do you think anyone has any 3G prepaid phones left that are really easy to operate for elders?
Not a thing.
No, because they've sold out because everyone went out to buy a new phone. That's crap.
And why was it only on the news this morning about the 2G network?
Was it only on the news
today? Yeah, I heard it this morning on the, well, it must have been the 8 o'clock news. They were talking about the 2G network.
Nuts.
And if your phone, you know, drops out today, it's probably because you're on the 2G network and bad luck.
And how vulnerable some people are going to be. So my parents don't read English. They don't speak English. They can barely manage their phone. Literally, Dad opens his phone, he turns it on. He usually does that to call me and yell at me for not calling. And I call every day. I call them.
Well, that is not enough, Gina.
Clearly not enough. If 1 o'clock hits and I haven't called home, and the conversation with my parents is super easy. It is literally me calling up going, how are you? How's mom? How's dad? How's everyone? And it's usually me having to refuse the offer of food.
Oh.
Because they can make me
can
food.
You send them my way? I'm happy for food.
Look,
anytime.
I would love to say yes, but dad's
almost
80.
I need a great grandma in my life.
Well, I just feel bad because they're always cooking for everyone else and themselves, and Dad's really fussy. But I can't say – I want to say yes. I had cereal again for dinner last night, and I had a banana tonight for dinner.
Why don't you have a freezer full of your mum's food?
It's on offer.
She does. Why don't I have a freezer full yes. of your mum's food?
Yes. I'd pay her.
Oh, yeah. Look, well, that's the thing. I had to go out and get them a phone. So nobody tell them that I paid for it. I lied and I said it came free.
Right.
Because if I'd ever told them the truth about what things cost these days, yeah, no, wouldn't go down well. Would be an outrage in their eyes. A little while ago, I actually had to call home, as I do, before 1 o'clock and check in. And my mum didn't offer to cook for me. So I thought I was in trouble.
Shit. Something's wrong.
She didn't think. She wanted to know how far Iceland, the country, was.
Iceland.
And I sucked at geography. How were you, principal's daughter?
I don't even know what Iceland is.
Yeah, it's Bjork country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know Bjork. Mm, yeah. Dresses like a swan.
Exactly. Mm. So usually it's, how are you? Have some food? No, mum wants to know how far Iceland is. And I have no idea how far Iceland is and I really don't care.
It's about as far as you can go from Australia.
Well, that was kind of the answer I gave to mum because I'm thinking my niece and nephew who are raised by my parents when they're not at school, they're always there. I'm thinking they're cheating on some assignment and too lazy to look up those like tatty old Britannicas that I've got in the good
the world books.
They've got the good room.
I love Britannicas.
They're great.
Yeah, we were they're a World Book family.
Dad tried to sell ours at a garage sale and no one would buy them. And I was like, that's because there's a thing called the internet.
And they smell a bit now. Mm. But anyway, so I said to mum, exactly as you said, it's really bloody far, mum, because I thought, no, these kids can look up those encyclopedias. And then I felt really bad because mum's like, oh, no. And I thought, oh, my God, I've just broken my mother's heart. And I started Googling how far is, you know, Surrey, how far is, you know, Melbourne from Iceland. And my mum's like, I just wanted to buy your dad some shoes. She didn't want to know how far Iceland was. She wanted to know how far Iceland Shopping Centre was.
Oh, my goodness.
Bless.
And so I said to mum, do you mean Iceland Shopping Centre? And she goes, yes, Iceland. And I'm like, oh, it's actually 10 minutes away. It's not that.
No, so, need to bring your thermals.
No. So I was tempted not to buy them a phone because these are some of the conversations I have to have.
Maybe you should get them like an iPhone and they can Google stuff. Can you imagine?
That would not work whatsoever.
But you know what you need to do with the phone thing? Because I have a similar situation with my parents and I have an amazing niece who lives just up the road. And my niece comes every Saturday morning and gives them lessons. And then this poor darling girl has the patience of a saint and she spends an hour with them and gives them iPhone lessons.
Oh, bless.
So they've got grandchildren in their lives. That it's the grandchildren who should be sitting with them and teaching them, not you, because you don't have the patience.
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't actually. No. Not to do
but
that.
But grandchildren do.
Oh.
And they're smarter. They're smarter than us anyway. So put the grandchildren onto
the
it.
The fear of having the internet in my parents' hands. For years I've stopped my father from calling a current affair every time he gets upset.
Oh, I love something. It. He should call. There should be more of it.
He'd be calling every day. But
I love outrage.
Yeah.
I love it.
He walks into stores deliberately. This is his exercise. He goes into shopping centres and he walks into a store where he knows they don't sell something and just asks.
Oh, my God, I want to hang out with your dad. He sounds amazing.
He's gorgeous.
We have a message in from our super photographer, Betty, who says, Jenny, your parents may have simple phones, yet they are brilliant gardeners.
They are.
Yes, I've seen some Facebook action of your garden. So I reckon you should pimp your mum and dad out. They can do gardening, cooking.
Yes, please.
Yeah, we'll all have a bit of it.
Well, if you have any more ideas of what I can get my parents to do, feel free to message in on 0427JOY949 and I'm sure they'd be up for it.
Family Matters at Joy. Your voice, your radio.
You're on Family Matters here on Joy 94.9. And as we said, if you'd like to join the conversation, you can message in on 0427JOY949. Email us on air at joy.org.au. And we also like social media. So you can get us on Twitter on Family Matters 94. And all those, just look up Family Matters at Joy and you'll find us on Facebook
we're
and
everywhere.
Instagram and everywhere in podcasting and iTunes in. And
we're at Bunnings eating sausages on the weekend.
We were at Bunnings eating sausages.
Well, which Bunnings?
Collingwood.
Collingwood.
Mm, we went to a sausage fest.
They put
great.
Nono on to cook the sausages. So one of the Proud to Play boys' dad was on the sausage turning thing and brilliant.
It was great.
But we're not here to talk about sausages or Iceland, are we, Beck?
No. Yeah. I mean, as much as they are, two of my favourite topics. We have a very special guest tonight who is the wonderful Dr. Catherine Barrett. I just said to her I'm not going to read her whole CV because she must be exhausted.
It's pages.
I know.
Pages.
It's like voluminous. But I will read a little bit. Just, you know, I'll talk you up a bit, Catherine. So Catherine is the founder and director of Celebrate Aging and has been working with older people for over 30 years, starting her professional career as a nurse unit manager in residential aged care. She's passionate about the rights of older people, including their sexual rights. Catherine established a sexual health and ageing program at the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University that documented the first evidence base on the sexual assault of older women in Australia. Catherine also founded Vows Cafe, a project recognising the rights of older LGBTI Australians. She presented at the National Elder Abuse Prevention Conference in 2013, 2014 and 2015. I'm tired just reading it. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
You're not scared yet?
No. I'm not scared at all.
Well, we are going to reveal her fetish when all the kids have gone to bed. But
that's
we'll leave
right.
It.
But aside from
later
that.
Time slot, absolutely later time slot. But absolutely, look, Catherine, seriously, your CV is extremely impressive. But there was something that was released on one of your websites, on the Celebrate Aging website today, and it was something to do with dementia. And it's actually a beautiful video that I actually had to stop because I got a bit emotional watching it. And for our listeners, we will try and share this later, but I'm going to give you one of the opening lines to this documentary. I guess you could call it a documentary, absolutely. But it's basically two people or two partners reading letters to one another, and it's Edie and Anne, of course. And it starts with Edie reading a letter that Anne has written to her, and it starts saying, "It's often said one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do is grieve the loss of a person still alive." And that sets the tone immediately for what we're watching. Can you tell us a little bit about Bigger Hearts?
Yeah, Bigger Hearts is a beautiful project, creating a dementia-friendly Ballarat. And Anne and Edie have been together for about 35 years, and they are the directors of the project. Edie has younger onset dementia. And the film that we released yesterday, it's exquisitely beautiful, actually. It's called Our Hearts Are Bigger, and people can get it on the Celebrate Aging website. They wrote each other a love letter every day for a week, and then they open them on film and read each other's letters out. And it's a sort of a record of Edie's journey with dementia, but of course Anne's a really important part of Edie's journey. And their message to other people is, you know, let's talk about the human experience of living with dementia. And people are invited to watch the film and then write a letter to someone with dementia. And people have already started doing that. But I think to us here at Joy, one of the things that's really gorgeous about this is that this is a really innovative project, and it's being led by some LGBTI elders.
Which is fantastic. And I want to, because I stopped a few minutes in, and Anne starts talking about how Edie would always make a big deal of her birthday. And, of course, now that's almost lost, and she was reading some of the cards. And those were, oh, I can't watch this anymore. I've got to watch this back at home. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
But these are, you know, important snaps because they're there and they're kept. And as we know, dementia evolves, and it's nice to have a snapshot of someone in that moment in time to look back on. And you know, for both the person who has dementia and also the person living with the dementia. So.
Yeah, absolutely, Steph. And so the film is part of a project called Letters of Love and Dementia, which is about write a letter to someone with dementia. But actually it's also part of an annual we've made a pledge to make an annual film tracking Edie's experience. And, you know, initially I said tracking her losses, and, of course, it's not her losses. It's really about celebrating her life and what she can achieve. And, you know, I think thinking about LGBTI elders, spending time with Anne and Edie is really heartwarming because you see two people who are still deeply in love with each other after 35 years, and it's gorgeous, actually.
It's just that patience with each other, which was what I found absolutely beautiful, and them talking about how sometimes they do lose their patience. So that's one of the projects that you've had a hand in playing, but you've been working on so many projects. One of the key questions I wanted to ask you is a lot of the research that I've read that you do in the space, because you're an amazing advocate for LGBTI elders, is you talk and get other people's stories. You let them tell their story. Where do you find these people? Because really they are invisible, and part of their story is about how they – I think the word I read someone say is straighten up, is straighten up their home before somebody comes. How do you find people to get to tell their story?
Well, it's changing, Gina. You know, when I started working with LGBTI elders in 2006, it was really, really, really difficult. I mean, we found 23 LGBTI elders, and that was an enormous feat. But there is much more visibility, and I'm meeting new LGBTI elders all the time. And, of course, they've always been there.
Yeah.
But there's been no discourse. There's been no invitation. There's been, you know, very little space, very little message of welcome. But that's really changing. And one of the things this year that was remarkable was that the Victorian Seniors Festival, I was contacted by someone at the Seniors Festival, and they said, we want to do an LGBTI event. And I suggested something, and they said, what about something else? And do you know anyone else? And I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, talk about change of government. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this sort of message of welcome. So there were actually six LGBTI events listed for Seniors Festival. And so that's part of this big picture to sort of change the world and put out that message of welcome. And LGBTI people, our elders, are much more visible than they were even 2 years ago, I reckon. Wow.
And is the change, Catherine, society? It's just that society's changing? Or what do you think's brought about the greater visibility? Or is it things like what you're doing, that there's a recognition that there was an area there that needed to be worked on?
Well, Dr. Jo Harrison was doing work 20 years ago saying, you know, we need to talk about LGBTI elders, and no one was listening. I did some work for Matrix Guild and Vintage Men 10 years ago, and that report, My People, went all around the world, actually, and I think that was really pivotal. But then the federal government developed an LGBTI ageing and aged care strategy, and so it was LGBTI elders sort of across the board, what do we need to do? And then there was money put into training and research, and, you know, I was the lucky recipient of a lot of that research money. So it's all contributing to greater visibility.
So, Catherine, how old are you when you are an elder?
Well, I think that's a really interesting question. I say 65.
Okay.
And, in fact, the government says 65 is officially an older person. I'm reclaiming the word elder, and some people say, oh, why do we need to say elder? Well, we say elder when it's a situation of abuse. So why not elder as a term for older people that has a connotation of respect to it?
Exactly right. But there's a vast difference from my experience in working with older people in somebody who is 65 to somebody who is 95. I mean, that the generation, I mean, there's a whole generation there.
Yeah, and we're ageist, so we think that everybody over the age of 65 is the same. You know, it's about four decades of people.
Yes.
And they're remarkably different, but, you know, we're an ageist society.
And because of the mostly because of the history that shaped them. You know, when you're looking at people who are in their 90s, you know, they were born at the end of the Great War, they've lived through depression, the depression, they've, you know, often served or lived and worked through the Second World War. Their experiences are vastly different to someone who was born.
And if you think of our ages, we wouldn't expect to be put in the same age group as someone who was 40 years younger than us.
Mm.
You know, for me, you know, a 14-year-old or a 10-year-old is not the same, but, you know, we sort of think 65 and 95 are the same. Actually, that's 30 years.
Yes. Maths. Who needs it?
Like geography.
Yeah, that's right.
Who needs those skills? Look, we are talking to the lovely Dr. Catherine Barrett here on Family Matters, and we'll be back in a sec.
The kids are all right. As for our presenters, Family Matters, Joy 94.9.
This is Family Matters, Joy 94.9 with Beck, Gina, Steph from Stand Up Straight. That's a lot of S's.
That's a lot of S's.
And the wonderful Dr. Catherine Barrett, and we are talking about all things LGBTI elder, which is a word we're reclaiming.
We are reclaiming, and we're deliberate. Well, I'm deliberate to leave off the Q because Rowena Allen has taught me that the word queer is actually quite offensive to my elders, and I'm very deliberate to leave that off. So there you go. You've all learned something tonight. I like to teach people.
I'm always wanting to. I constantly live in fear about saying the wrong letters or the wrong words. So it's good to know.
Move on.
Yeah, it's good to learn.
But my biggest lesson, so I first met Catherine when she came out during Seniors Week for Outtakes, which is the other show I'm on, plug, plug. great film show. You should listen, Monday night. I remember hearing Catherine talk about this because we were talking about the representation of elders in film, and there is none. It was very hard for us to come up with films to even look at, and especially to come up with LGBTI characters in films to look at. And I remember listening to Catherine talk about some of the events, and it struck me. Because I work on this family show and my focus had been here and the plebiscite debate was live and well and in papers, so everyone was talking about it. And we kept going on about, think about it, think about the children, think about the children. And I know I had failed to think about my elders who were vulnerable in this space, hearing all of that negative commentary that was out in the public domain. And it I found it extremely, one, upsetting. I felt very ashamed that I hadn't even considered my elders in the space, and I've been doing my best peddling to learn more about it and to see how I can be active.
Gina, I was interested to hear on the news this morning. It was the other thing that I took note of, apart from the 2G network.
You learned
closure.
A lot this morning.
This
Steph.
Morning I did. Yeah. But it was reported that people are more likely to take in their grown children than their aging parents into their homes to care for them. And I thought, why is this so?
They're not Greek.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously. Clearly but not Greek. But yeah. That I mean, that's troubling, but it's also fairly interesting. Is that something that you've sort of come across, Catherine, in your work?
Well, I think we are an extraordinarily ageist society, and yes. I think we are so ageist we don't recognise it. And if I can do a little aside, there's an organisation in the UK that does work around advocating for older people, and they had a campaign challenging ageism, and their slogan was, "Ageism is getting old." And so, you know, I think, and you see this all the time, that we are so ageist, we don't even recognise ageism. And I think that translates to older people's lives in a whole heap of detrimental ways. And if we talk about LGBTI elders, one of the things that we talked about, particularly in the Australian Law Reform Commission submission that I developed, was that older people, particularly those who have come out or transitioned late in their lives, experience a real point of conflict with their adult children when they're no longer able to make decisions for themselves and they're no longer autonomous. Mm. And, you know, part of that is about ageing and part of that's about homophobia and transphobia as well too.
There were some absolutely frightening stories in this. And you found something today, I think, or something that's in Parliament at the moment, Steph.
Well, yeah, I mean, as you know, I work in the funeral industry, and I've been working with one of the senior counsels at the Law Institute of Victoria, because there is a submission that is in Parliament at the moment, the inquiry into end-of-life choices, that I'm sure you probably know more about than me, Catherine. And the other one that the other report they've put together is funeral and burial instructions, because they've had so many complaints from people around funeral and burial instructions not being met by families. So.
And I think I mean, being a lawyer, speak to lawyers that work in this area, and I know that there's often issues with that end of life sort of stuff, with relationships not being recognised by family. So people might have been together for 20 years even, but their family just doesn't recognise that relationship. So when it comes to making a decision, that person's point of view is just completely ignored, which I think the lawyer in me says everyone should have powers of attorney and all these sorts of things, so that then their partner is recognised as the person to make those decisions.
Partner and the other, and thinking about trans people too, you know, gender being recognised as well. So gender being recognised in terms of funeral arrangements, but also too in terms of family members as well too. So there's that real point of conflict when someone can't make decisions for themselves, and if they've got adult children from a previous heterosexual relationship and the kids have never approved of their same-sex identity, or their partner never approved of their gender or their gender identity, and then just go, well, no, I don't actually recognise that decision. And it becomes really difficult, because sometimes for the older LGBTI person, they want to sort of restore or try and maintain those family relationships with their adult children, and that's a real point of conflict for their same-sex partner.
Mm.
So writing an advanced care plan, or, you know, identifying their surrogate decision makers, substitute decision makers, is a really useful way of circumventing that issue, really.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, how awful if, you know, your partner was unwell and you wanted to make those decisions and no one in their family even recognises you in their life. I mean, it's just, it's an awful thing.
Beck, are those plans legally binding, or are they just like funeral wishes?
If they're done properly, they are, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because I know, you know, when people express their desire to get buried or cremated, families will generally honour those wishes, even though they're not legally binding.
Well, it's the same thing as, I mean, it's a bit different to the elders, but it's the same as where your children go if you die. A lot of people don't realise that's not legally binding in your will either. Really? So, but I think that the funeral direction's a really interesting one that people, I was going to say people, I guess, usually do agree with people's wishes, but
mostly.
So, Catherine, I wanted to ask, because rainbow families are still very new. It was illegal, less than 10 years ago for people to go through the IVF process. So some of the elders that we're talking about may never have had a heterosexual relationship before, may have been living, you know, a gay life their full lives, and don't have kids. So who do they consider their family if it isn't their kin and maybe they've been in the closet? Who's their family?
From the research that we've conducted, really small studies, there's this wonderful thing that seems to have happened where people have had challenging experiences historically, and without a partner and children, what they've done is sort of form these chosen families. And so often that seems to be other LGBTI people, but sometimes it's, you know, the general community as well too. But, you know, sort of really brought around themselves these people that sort of valued and affirmed their identities and celebrated their diversity. So there's sort of pockets of not just safety, but sort of pockets of the sense of family, actually, the sense of somebody who really cares for me in a different kind of a way.
Mm. I mean, I know with myself, with my family, it's kind of when my mother finally stopped taking me to the GP and throwing holy water at me when I came out, and she was comfortable with it. She just assumed that because she was going to have a daughter who was a lesbian, that meant that I would be there to take care of them for the rest of their lives. Mm. I quickly shut down that thought in her mind. But it seems to, it's that whole, and I know there is a pressure. And it could be the Greek in me that you go, if I don't have children, who's going to be the Greek child that's going to look after me in my old age if it's not going to be my friends and my community?
Well, do you know what, Jenna? I mean, maybe that's the opportunity. Mm. We had a conversation earlier about, you know, what's the future in terms of LGBTI elders and this sense of family. You know, I think one of the things that we need to do that we haven't really done well yet is around LGBTI community members coming in and really supporting and embracing LGBTI elders. There are so many different ways that we can do that. I don't reckon we've really explored it yet.
But Catherine, you have introduced a couple of initiatives, a couple of really interesting initiatives. Do you want to talk a little bit about the Tea Cozy project?
Can we come back to that? What we'll do, I want to give it proper time. I'm going to kill a song and we're going to come back to that in just a sec.
You're listening to Family Matters with any combination of Gina, Adrian, Michelle, David and Beck. Joy 94.9.
The combination you've got tonight is Gina and Beck. We are the best ones.
We are the best combination.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we've also got the lovely Steph from Stand Up Straight. That's how I'm going to refer to you now all the time. I think it's a good name.
Thank you.
Should put it on your business card. And the wonderful Dr. Catherine Barrett talking about LGBTI elders. And we have had a question in which someone's asked, are there aged care facilities that are rainbow friendly? Are there, and is that an important issue?
I reckon it's a really important issue because a lot of LGBTI elders are really worried that services won't be inclusive and that they'll have to straighten up or go back into the closet. So I think it's fair and reasonable to expect that they would be assured that they will be welcome in every sense of the word. There are no LGBTI-specific services, I don't think, anywhere in Australia, actually. And certainly in Victoria, there are a couple of services that have a rainbow tick. So that's the accreditation standards that were developed by Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria.
I know the Heart Foundation tick, and I don't know how does one get this rainbow tick?
Well, do you know how someone gets a rainbow tick? They work bloody hard and they show their commitment.
Yeah.
It's really hard yards and it's externally assessed. But Hepburn Health Service in Dalesford, you know, thank goodness they do, because we know Dalesford's very gay. And Port Phillip Council as well too. They're two of the aged care services. There are probably more by now, but it's something that's really growing.
That's fantastic.
It is. So we were all just looking at each other.
Sorry, we got very busily chatting before the air because we're like, we want to look at the opportunities that are there. We want to look at how we can be active and how to get our elders active. So where do we need to move in this space and what can we be doing at the moment, Catherine? I've got work to do, so please tell us.
I reckon there's a couple of things we can do. One of the things that we need to do is look at LGBTI ageing, and I think we need to embrace our own ageing. That's probably going to be the tough of it. But one of the things Gina and I have been talking about is, you know, for me as a coordinator of Alice's Garage, working with LGBTI elders and thinking about, you know, how do we empower LGBTI elders or help LGBTI elders to empower themselves. And Gina had this lovely idea, or one of us did.
I can't take credit for that.
It's all you. Between us, we had this wonderful idea, let's get LGBTI elders and rainbow families together, and that's something that I'm really excited about because yes. I think that's part of the future of the work that we need to do. And then there's after that, that sort of it's more than an intergenerational coming together. It's actually really recognizing that LGBTI elders are part of our community. But then there's you think of all the events that we have in Victoria alone, you know, that maybe we could think about being more inclusive LGBTI elders. What about Midsummer? Let's do something for Midsummer. Yes. What about the Globe Awards? Can we have an LGBTI Seniors Award for Globe? What about Joy? No, Joy's doing really well.
Joy does really well in this space, I think.
Queer Film Festival. You know, when I was at Val's Cafe, we used to sponsor some films around LGBTI elders. Well, I'd like to get into a position to do that again. So that every event we have in the LGBTI community, we're thinking about, you know, what's the role of LGBTI elders and how can we welcome them?
What I'd like you to do is actually talk about Alice's Garage because that I'm someone who believes in letting people tell their stories, and that's why I've really enjoyed reading some of your research papers because it's so accessible because it is other people's stories. But what is Alice's Garage?
Alice's Garage is kind of the next step for me from Val's Cafe, all named after extraordinarily, fabulously wonderful, amazing lesbians from Victoria. And Val's Cafe really focused on working with service providers, and that's part of Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria. The work that I'm doing now with Alice's Garage, I mean, Alice Anderson had a motor service in Melbourne in the 1920s. She only employed women, and you should see the pictures. They're just divine.
Sounds like my kind of girl.
She probably wore denim overalls too, Jana.
Oh, I wear denim on denim.
She wore the total jodhpurs and the chauffeur's hat, and she was just divine. And she only employed female mechanics, and women could pay to come in and work alongside the female mechanics on their cars. And I just think, why is that service not still available? Ugh. She was just fabulous. But she empowered women with information about their cars. And she recognised, you know, cars were expected to be men's business. And she went, no way, you know, women have the right to and most probably the capability and interest in cars. So I love that work that she did. And so that's what I want to do with LGBTI elders in particular is say, well, you have the right to information about your lives and the right to empowerment, and that's what I want to do. So this moving away from working with service providers to saying, how do we empower LGBTI elders in the community? And so that's the work that I'm doing. And then more recently, the Beautiful Women Project has sort of shifted the focus. So it's about LGBTI aging and older people.
Yes. I do colour my grey hair. I'm usually the oldest person on the panel. Maybe now I won't.
Yeah, embrace it.
I'll embrace
the grey.
Instead of shaving it, I'll embrace it.
That's Catherine, right. With Alice's Garage, it is a blog space, yes?
It started off as a blog space, but actually one of the things that's really interesting is I'm having to work really hard with LGBTI elders that the word blog seems to terrify people.
I wondered about technology and how that was going, you know, as a blog and with what sort of,
I don't think Gina's mum and dad would be on a blog.
Do you know what? I say to people, well, what about if you wrote 200 words, gave it a title and have you got a picture? And I've decided not to let it go yet because I think there's real potential here. If you think about if there was a blog that LGBTI elders were writing about the things that were of interest to them, I think there's really something there.
And maybe it comes back to pen and paper, and I say this only because I led a funeral service today for a 99-year-old man whose daughter had very cleverly given him a notebook and a pen about 7 years ago and said, Dad, you know what, it'd be really great if you just documented some of your life stories. After he died, she found 5 beautifully handwritten pages of his life story that I read at the service today and no one had heard it.
Wow.
And it was amazing. It was amazing. But he did that because he did it in his time, in his space, with a pen and a paper. And, you know, maybe you need to get younger people typing this stuff up because these words are so, as you say, Beck, so powerful and so important.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. All right, I'm going to get some notebooks and give them to LGBTI. Mm.
And I said theme. Last time you said this and you're like, just write 200 words. As a writer, I can tell you how hard that is, Catherine.
No, just saying.
Give them a topic. Give them something.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you've got a story about your life or a story that you'd like to share.
But if you have a look, like Jill's one of the – Jill Boland from Queensland's one of the bloggers. And she's a JP, and she writes beautifully about advanced care planning and advanced decisions and get off your bums and write them. And
yeah.
And so I think there's this feisty LGBTI elders sort of empowering their peers stuff that
– yes.
That, and I've just not got the approach right.
And look, do you know, I have heard that 65-year-old males are the largest growing group on Facebook. So there is hope, you know, there is hope that technology will, you know, become a big part
of. I'm not surprised by that. My dad's 60 and he does not get off Facebook.
Seriously?
He's always like, have you checked me in? How many likes have I got? So
my parents
I can see
know
that's happening.
What Facebook is, and they often ask, can you send that photo to Greece on the book
on
of,
the Facebook?
On the, face, on the Facebook.
Mm. On the book of
on
face.
On the book of face thing. And because they know I can talk to my cousins in Greece. And I hate that I have to share all these photos, and I tell everyone, this is a post for the family in Greece. But everyone then... Well, my local friends start commenting on how cute my dad is on the barbecue, where he's using a pogo stick to, you know, spark up the coals. I was like, oh, God.
Bless. We've had a couple of messages, which is exciting. We've had Elsa from Port Melbourne has renewed a membership with Joy, so that's exciting. Yeah. Renew away. And then a
thank
message.
Thank you, Elsa.
Yes, thank you, Elsa. What a great name. Yeah. Like Frozen. Gina, don't stress about greys, just own it from Dave.
I think I will.
For someone who is that obsessed with his hair, I'm surprised he's so lax about going grey, but anyway.
We do have similar haircuts sometimes with Dave, but I have to be careful when I come into the studio.
That's right. I wanted to pick up, Catherine, what you said about the LGBTI elders empowering each other, and I think that to me strikes me as something that's really important because younger people or other people not in the community can say you should do this and this would be a really great idea. But I think that's probably a really powerful thing is them joining together as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a meeting with a group of LGBTI elders and Rowan Allen, the Gender and Sexuality Commissioner, recently. And one of the things that was really interesting, we were talking about the Tango Project, which is around discrimination and abuse. And some very astute piece of feedback from one of the participants. And she said to us, you know, all this focus on abuse and discrimination, as though that was the only thing about our lives that was remarkable. She said, it's actually disempowering. Mm. You know, some of us have, you know, asserted ourselves. We've got happy families. We've not experienced abuse and discrimination. And that's disempowering talk. And so the message we got from that was that there needs to be a balance, that it's not just saying, you know, there's this one reality. And so that's exactly the point I think that you're making, that we really need to take our cues from LGBTI elders. It's that co-design, co-production, the stuff that everybody's talking about. But actually I think this is about co-leadership. So saying to LGBTI elders, you know, what do you think we need to do? How do you think we need to do it? And actually that we were talking before about the Dementia Project, mm-hmm. Anne and Edie are leading that project. Wonderful. You know, I'm arms and legs helping them, but they're designing it and they're doing the international speaking circuit and they develop the philosophy and... And, you know, I think this is a real model for the future.
Yes, it is a model. And, you know, it's great to have facilitators, but it's better to have people who, you know, are living the experience, driving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I really do think, and probably in the next month I'm going to launch something called the Elder Leadership Academy, which will be just known as the Academy. And I think we should get some of
can
those.
Get blazers?
I think we should get the what do you call them? The wind cheaters with the American. And, you know, Anne and Edie will be the first graduates from the Academy because they've designed a project. They've come up with this life philosophy. They've designed the project. They've taken a major role in implementing it. They're presenting in Scotland and Japan and New Zealand on it. And I think, well, I feel like the role that I've had in that is I've given their idea wings. And, you know, I think, and I think, so it's not just about sort of doing to LGBTI elders who are impoverished and discriminated against. Some people are. But it's about saying, you know, what is it that people want and how can we help to facilitate that to happen?
Well, I work at a university. I'm happy to matriculate and come up with some certificates if you need. That's kind of what I can do. I'll put my hand
excellent.
Up. But we'll be back in a moment. You're on Family Matters.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
It is the voice of your community, and tonight we are looking about the voices of our LGBTI elders, which we need to be looking at. Tango Project. Catherine, we've got 3 minutes. Go.
The Tango Project is awesome because I've spoken to a lot of LGBTI elders who've experienced abuse and discrimination, and almost none of them access advocacy and support services. And you're not really sure why that is. Some of them don't conceptualise what happened to them as discrimination. Some of them don't have a sense of entitlement. Some of them are worried that the institutions won't be supportive. So this project is working with Rowan Allen as the patron, and it's kind of a bridge between LGBTI elders and the commissioners and advocacy and support organisations. So for 12 months, I'm working with LGBTI elders. I'll document their experiences of discrimination. I'll take that to the commissioners, and then I'll bring the commissioners to LGBTI elders.
Wow. Fabulous. We'll have to have you back on at the end of the 12 months to tell us how it went.
Thank you. It's been awesome.
We'll just have to have you back on again. Just because there's so much to talk about.
I know. I've got so many more questions
that are getting lost under your big CV that I don't know what to do. But there are some other events. And is there anything for Midsummer? Is there anything coming up over?
Yeah. Beautiful Women. Okay. AliceGarage.net/beautifulwomen
Yes.
Celebration of LGBTI women.
And didn't we have to talk about your fetish? Hang on. So an elder revealed. All right. So earlier in the show, I think the kids are in bed now. So an elder who works at Joy revealed Catherine's fetish, which is
colourful sporting shoes.
Apparently.
You started
listing a whole bunch of others, and I was like, I'm just going to let her say anything.
We know a lot about Catherine now.
Typewriters, chenille, teapots.
Chenille.
Candlewick, actually.
And can I say I love that you butched up for us tonight, because we do have a running gag that, yes, anyway, we'll talk about that another time. Beck, how are you feeling?
You pulled through. Well, look, that's how Kimmy died into the show, Gina.
Beck,
I've talked through a torn calf muscle.
I'm so torn calf muscle, and you are looking very pale, my darling. I think you need to go home. Put your feet up.
It's like having my mum here.
Yeah, it is. And Steph, welcome to Family Matters.
Thank you. I'll come back anytime.
Oh, that's what we like to hear. Now, the most important thing before we break off to our brothers in the woods, we need to grrr. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.